Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in today. Welcome to the weekend edition of Live the Promise. Glad to do this journey with you. Well, if you're just tuning in, all this week we've been unpacking the content from my book, Your Sacred Yes, Trading Life-Draining Obligation for Freedom, Passion, and Joy. We've looked at what it means to say yes to God's wisdom and His power, to His provision and His invitation, to living in freedom and true humility, and even to necessary change and divine momentum. Well, today we're going to talk about that final section, say yes to a God-given influence and to a life that counts. A quick announcement first that I'm actually really excited about. In a few short weeks, Faith Radio will be leading an online study through this material, Your Sacred Yes, and I'd love to personally invite you to join us. You can sign up now on our website at myfaithradio.com. And then starting February 8th, you'll receive a series of emails Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with content from the book, along with videos of a panel of women discussing the content to help you understand it a little bit more. So if you're someone who struggles with the rat race culture, I can't say enough how helpful I believe this material will be for you to shift your focus, to understand that God doesn't call us to a life stacked with obligations and man-made expectations. He calls us to joy, freedom, intimacy, and even rest as we walk out His calling for our life. Again, you can sign up right now on our website at myfaithradio.com, and that study will start on February 8th. Today, we're going to talk about what it means to stand in power, what it means to say yes to your God-given influence, what it means to live a life that counts. And we've got three copies to give away. I don't think I'll be taking calls, but you can email me. And email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put your sacred yes in the subject line. Make sure you give me your address. I would love a question or comment, and we'll pick three of you to win a copy of Your Sacred Yes. And I want to just open my chapter about standing in power with a quote from John 1:12. Here it is. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become sons of God. Another translation is, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God. That word power, he gave the power to become sons of God. It also says he gave the right to become sons of God. That translatable, that word translates into this, delegated authority and influence. To those of us who received Jesus, he delegated authority and influence to stand in power as sons and daughters of God. But to the extent that you appropriate the authority and the influence he's given you, more will be given. I mean, look through scriptures. To those who have, more will be given. To those who squander what they have, even what they have, they'll lose. Doesn't mean you'll lose your salvation. Doesn't mean you lose his love, but you lose your influence. And do you want to have great influence? God calls you to. He's got you living and breathing on the earth for such a time as this. So what does it mean to be standing in power? It means to look longer at Jesus than you do your problems, to know his promises better than you do your obstacles. William Ford III wrote this, "You've gazed at people, problems, failures, and fears long enough. God blesses intimacy with him and rewards us with himself and everything else pertaining to life and godliness. Problems are changed in his presence." I want to tell you, this Friday, if you live in the Twin Cities or if you're willing to make the trek, I'm going to be speaking about this topic, about standing in power. And I hope you can join us. It'll be at Emmanuel Christian Center this Friday. The information's on my Facebook page, facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist. But I want you to hear this quote, and I may revisit again a little bit later in the show. But here it is from Your Sacred Yes. "We have the power of the risen Lord alive and at work within us. We've been given authority over the enemy. We walk in God's presence as we live here on earth. When we pray in faith, mountains move. When we say to that enemy, no more, he has to obey us. On the other hand, when we forget who we are, it's like we drop our shield and we fling aside our authority. The enemy sees the opportunity and attempts to occupy the land that belongs to us. Yet Scripture tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. So often we are driven by our fears of the unknown. We're driven by fears of others' opinions. But you think about how often your opinion of things and people change. These are mere men. You know what I mean? When we look at people and let what they may think about us dictate our God-given call, we need to see an exchange of power. We need to take the power away from them and put it in its rightful place. So throughout this next hour, we're going to play some clips from the companion DVD of Your Sacred Yes. And this clip you're going to hear is about letting go of others' opinions of you, about the need for an exchange of power. But as we listen, I want you to think about who in your life do you get that knot in your gut if they don't think exactly about you the way that you want to, and that you kind of go to great lengths to manage their opinion of you. God wants you to be free. Because you want to be considerate of other people, but they don't get to decide your value. And you shouldn't really spend energy trying to get them to think well of you, because it is a form of idolatry. I want you to imagine taking that power away, walking free where you can love them no matter what they think about you. And you know what? We can pick that up in each other. When you know how that is, it's if you meet somebody, you can tell that they're insecure or they need you to like them. You don't really respect them so much, right? But when you meet someone who's kind and winsome and loving, but you can tell they don't really need you to like them, aren't you more attracted to them? I mean, God wants you to live free. He wants you to walk free. So let's listen to this clip about what it means to let go of others' opinions of us. Well, here's something that we all have to understand. If we want to walk in the power that God has for us, there needs to be an exchange of power in certain areas of our lives. Whose opinion matters too much to you? What else in your life has got a hold on you? What's the first thing you think about when you wake up in the morning? Is it the number on the scale? Is it your debt? Is it somebody's opinion? When we want to increase in the knowledge of God and walk in the presence and the power of God in increasing measures, there needs to be an exchange of power. So where is the exchange of power? Where does it need to happen in your life? It's for all of us, because we go through life, we encounter battles, fears come up to the surface, and so we always need to be asking ourselves this question. In fact, if you want a really good book on this topic, Kyle Eidelman's book, God's at War, is fantastic, because we will get gifts from God's hand, and then we'll turn them into idols in our heart. And so we need to smash our idols. We need to put Jesus back on the throne. And when Jesus met with that Samaritan woman and said, if only you knew who I am and the gift God has for you, we need to dare to come face to face. Do I know who Jesus is? Do I know the gift God has for me? When you dare to put everything on the table and say, Lord, these things have too much power over me. I want to know your power. It's a gutsy, courageous thing to do. But that act of surrender will bring a revival to your heart. One of my favorite verses in Scripture says this, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. The kingdom of God is not a matter of just weighty ideas, ought-tos, should-dos, good ideas. The kingdom of God is a matter of power. And I'm afraid we've lost sight of that reality in our day. Too many Christians right now are so focused on winning the debate at the expense of winning the soul. We're not going to debate someone into the kingdom. We're going to love them into the kingdom. We're going to lead them into the kingdom by introducing them to the supernatural power of God. Think about the verse again. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Do you want to experience God's power in your life? The way that we do that is we surrender control. We surrender our unbelief. We deal with our fears. And there are situations that will bring our self-life to surface. And when our self-life surfaces, the temptation is to medicate our discomfort. We don't like how our boss made us feel. We don't like how our spouse made us feel, or that neighbor who's not very kind. And so we medicate. We buy, we eat, we drink. But when that stuff comes to the surface, it's the perfect opportunity. It's an invitation for God to say, I want you to experience my kingdom power here. But when we medicate our discomfort, we short-circuit our spiritual growth. And so when you come to the edge of yourself, be of good cheer, because there's just more of the kingdom to inherit. Scripture says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead resides in us. I want you to think about that. The same power. Jesus was buried under the weight of the world's sin. He wasn't just dead. He was buried under the weight of the world's sin. And the power that raised him from the dead is available to us. Well, A.W. Tozer says that since that's true, we should be some of the most amazing people on the planet. Another great verse is Psalm 77:14, and it says, you are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the people. Again, we've made it such a heady thing, these ought to's and should do's and weighty ideas, but it's kingdom power that transforms our life to the point where we, like the Samaritan woman, can face people who had once such a hold on us and love them. In fact, I would submit that we can't love people the way Christ loves them until his opinion of us matters more than their opinion of us. Imagine what would happen if we got so free from man's opinion, so free from the fear of man, that we were content to be misunderstood on occasion, that we could give our yes to God, knowing at times it's going to disappoint other people, but in a way that's winsome and loving, but deeply, deeply convicted. You know, I tell this story in my book, The Uncommon Woman, and I just love this story. But we were sitting around our leadership team at church with some missionaries from Africa. And this particular missionary, his name is Mervis, he had a mentor. And I don't remember the mentor's name, so I'm giving him the name James. And Mervis was talking about James. This man possessed the kingdom in his soul like nobody he'd ever met. He said he just possessed the kingdom, the way he walked in the promises and power of God. And so he was called to go to Africa to just minister to some missionaries who were feeling defeated and worn out. The plane lands, the host meets him on the tarmac, and the host says to James, "Brother James, so glad you're here. Now that you're here, can you feel the defeat in the air? It's thick, you can almost touch it. Can you feel it?" And Brother James straightened up and he said, "You listen to me. I carry the living Lord Jesus alive in my soul. When I step foot on this land, that oppression, it feels me." Isn't that powerful? Everywhere we place our feet, God's kingdom comes to earth. John 1:12 says this, "To as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become sons of God." Another translation says, "To them he gave the power to become sons of God." That word right, power, is translated delegated authority and influence. To those who received him, he delegates authority and influence to become sons of God. He empowers us. He entrusts us with a measure of authority and influence. What are you doing with the authority God's given you? Because Scripture is very clear. If you squander it because you live in constant unbelief and insecurity around your issues, you're squandering your influence and your authority, and then you don't have it anymore. You're still saved. You're still loved. But you lose your influence. And so it's so important to walk in a measure and walk in the knowledge of who you are in Christ Jesus. So imagine when you walk into your kid's school, rather than comparing your thighs with everybody else's or your kid's clothes or their sports ability with everybody else's, we commit that sin of comparison in 1,000 different ways. Pause again and remember, I am my beloved's and he is mine. His banner over me is love, and the Spirit of the living God resides in my soul. When I place my feet on this school ground, God's kingdom comes to earth here. When we start to walk in a measure of holy confidence and humble dependence because we belong to him, the atmosphere changes. Do you want to be a person of influence? Do you want people to listen to you? Well, then listen to Jesus. Listen to what he has to say to you. Listen to what he promises you. Take his promises as they stand. You know what? Narrow the gap between how God affects you, and I should say widen the gap between how God affects you and people affect you. Let God's voice ring truest in your heart. Take your cues from him. Do what he says, and your influence will increase. People will want to hear what you have to say because you know the secret that so many still don't know, that it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. When we come back, we'll unpack more what it means to stand in power and to say yes to a life that counts. Don't go away. More when we come back.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Spirit of living God.
You know what? We're living in a day where we've got to hear from the Lord. We've got to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. Scripture talks about when you walk in the Spirit, you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. And so often you interpret that verse as the excesses of the flesh. That counts, you know, the eating, the drinking, the buying, all the self-indulgences. But it also talks about the flesh, where our need for approval, our need for praise, our need to be noticed and thanked and acknowledged. Imagine getting so free that you walk in the Spirit, that even if your deeds are done in private and only God sees and you get the applause of heaven, it's more than enough because you're not living for the praise of man. You're living with eternity in mind. You will become downright dangerous and powerful when you cultivate a lifestyle of walking intimately with God to the point where you're listening to what the Holy Spirit says, you do what the Lord tells you to do, and you shake off everything else. Here's an excerpt from the book. Do you realize how profoundly God has empowered us for this journey? Jesus told us that he's given us authority over all of the power of the enemy. When it comes to God's promises, he says yes to us so we can stand in battle and say no to that enemy of our souls. Read this life-changing verse. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Luke 10:19. Jesus may have given us authority, but we have to take it. This is our time. This is our day. Will we have the unction to say no to unappointed tasks? Will we have the courage to become prayer warriors who stand in the gap for the needs in our day? When we look at the injustices and the evil all around us, will we stomp our feet and say, no, not on my watch? Will we learn to use our no in a way that sends the enemy reeling? We have the authority to stand in the gap for our children, our marriages, our communities, and our fellow believers who serve all across the earth today. When we pray for the poor, the human trafficking victim, and the orphan, things will change on earth. I'm going to play a song that we've played before. We've actually had Matt Gilman on the show before. It's called You Made a Way. And I want you to soak this in. I mean, really soak it in. What Jesus did when he defeated sin and death and he blew the doors off of the enemy's hold on us, Jesus gave us access to the inner courts of the Most High God. That veil was torn in two. We can go boldly and confidently into the presence of God, and we can be assured of his glad welcome. He made a way for us. Listen in.
The crimson stain upon your robe, with every nail, with every pounding blow, by every stripe and every bruise upon your back, I can hear you crying out. You say, Father, I desire that they would be, that they would be with me to see my glory. You took all my shame and my iniquity for the sake of freedom. You set me free. To enter the
That was You Made a Way by Matt Gilman, and I hope that song ministered to you. I was actually praying for you while that song was playing, because do you realize what Jesus has done for us by defeating sin and death? The Bible says he made a public spectacle of the powers that oppose us. He made a way for us to enter the Holy of Holies. He gave us access to his presence. You know why? Because he loves us. Because he enjoys us, but also because we are going to need it to stand in this day. I want to read you Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of Ephesians 6:10 through 18 before we go to break. It says this, and that about wraps it up. God is strong and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you'll be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls out behind or drops out. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about living with eternity in mind, saying yes to your God-given influence. I'm going to open the phone lines for just a couple minutes in case you got a question or comment, but otherwise we're going to keep plugging ahead. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Maybe you've been going through the book. I'd love to know how it's been impacting you. If you've got a question about how to say yes to your God-given influence, 877-93-FAITH. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise. You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
So glad you tuned in today. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise. We've been going through the content of my book, Your Sacred Yes, and it's so wonderful hearing from you. I'm so glad that you've been encouraged by the content, and the whole point is to redeem the day, to name the day. Remember, the Bible says, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. What does it mean to number the day? It means to appoint the day, to anoint the day, to name the day. In other words, it means to recognize that I don't know if I have tomorrow, but today is a gift from Almighty God. He's given me access to his presence. He's given me his great and precious promises. He's allowed me and invited me to walk intimately with him, that I could take my cues from him. He's invited me to be free from the opinions and the snares of man so that I can make a total difference on this earth. I'm on a pilgrimage to a most holy city. One day I'll be there, and the reason that I'm here is because of that one day there. How I live here echoes into eternity of how I'll live there. And really hoping and praying you found some encouragement today. Opening the phone lines up for just a couple minutes. I'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. Linda's checking in from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Linda, welcome. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thank you. I just want to encourage you and thank you so much for the last 6 weeks. I have just loved every minute of your sharing the book. It's just been so awesome and has encouraged me and helped me so much. Every week there has just been something that has touched me and where I have needed what you said.
Linda, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time to just, that's such a great word of encouragement. And do you have a copy of the book yet?
I don't.
Okay.
No.
If you'd like one, I'll have Grace get your address. The three that we sent out through email went out the door already, but I'm going to grab one out of my own stash at home. I want you to have a copy. Thank you, Linda.
I love one.
You've so encouraged me today. God bless you, dear sister.
I know that where you're at, you have a lot. I'm sure with spiritual warfare, the devil loves to hit you.
Yeah.
With discouragement, and so I will keep you on my prayer list because of that.
Thank you, and you're right about that. So thank you. Thank you so much. We're going to get Linda a copy, Grace, if you can get her address. Thanks for that. We're also playing clips from the companion DVD, and this is for folks who maybe want to watch six sessions of the DVD and go through it as a group study. This clip is talking about reckoning our eternity. And you've heard me talk a little bit about the judgment seat and the great white throne. It's just something that very much interests me, but also motivates me to help us all just to remember to live with eternity in mind. And let's listen in. I've been studying a lot lately about the judgment seat of Christ. For some reason, it's just perked my interest, really feeling like we're nearing the end times, if not in the end times. And so maybe you haven't studied this before, so just let me lay this out a little bit. The great white throne of judgment is the place where unbelievers will reckon their sins with God. And it will be a devastating, devastating day for them, because now is the day of salvation. Jesus has offered his grace. And for those who reject his grace and want to live their own life, we'll have to face God, where we as Christians will go before the judgment seat of Christ. And what's so amazing is that we don't have to reckon our sin, because Jesus has. And so the judgment seat for Christians is a place where rewards are handed out. And it's really, when you think about it, you hear people talk about as if hell is going to be some kind of never-ending New Year's Eve party. Well, they couldn't be farther from the truth, because this will be a time of absolute isolation from God. In fact, all the good things about an unbeliever's life right now, sunny days, the laughter of a child, a meal that tastes great, good health, those are all good gifts from God, and they'll all go away. And what the unbeliever has to reckon with at the end of their days is their sin. And so God is a God of justice. And so the guy who cheated on his taxes and every other thing that he did will have to reckon with his sin and live forever in hell apart from God in utter torment, wanting to die but not be able to. And the pedophile, he will have more hell to pay than the guy who cheated on his taxes. And so you hear people always say sin is sin is sin. It's not exactly accurate, biblically speaking. Sin is sin as far as it takes one sin to be disqualified from heaven apart from Jesus Christ. But God is a God of justice. And so those who reject his grace will pay for their sin. But then you move to the judgment seat for Christians. Scripture is very clear, too, that some who are saved by grace have nothing to show for it. Where the Bible says it's like they're barely escaping the flames, like their whole life work burns up and they're barely saved. They're saved by grace, but nothing to show for it. And so that's what's gotten me thinking, that to face the judgment seat of Christ, when God hands out rewards, and it's not for the sake of rewards, it's for the sake of redeeming every part of who I am. I want my life to count. I want my offerings to count. And you read Scripture, many at salvation time, when Jesus comes to get us and we face him at the judgment seat, will be very surprised, because we base things on such a different system. We are a celebrity-driven culture. We tend to esteem highly those in upfront ministries. But we'll be surprised at some ministries that we think are pretty amazing that may burn up. We may be surprised that those who are honored, we've never heard of them before, ever. We tend to value the wrong things at times. So what does God value? What echoes into eternity and what burns up here? That's my question. That's what I've been studying and really thinking a lot about. Well, let me tell you what echoes into eternity. Every act, every choice, every word spoken that's prompted by faith, hope, or love. So when you come home tired after a long day at work and you smile at your spouse, or you love your child, or you forgive somebody who's hurt you, that echoes into eternity. But every posturing, striving, manipulating thing you and I've ever done to impress others, it burns up. When you think of how much of our lives we live to manage our reputation, to manage our image so that people think well of us, it all burns up. Dr. Richard Swenson, he's a doctor, he's a physician, he's a scientist, a statistician, a brilliant man, and he's watching the trends that are happening in our world. And he said, we've shifted over to something. Something has changed in the atmosphere. And he said, people need to reckon their eternity right now. In fact, he says, as a scientist and a doctor and as someone who studies trends, he said, we know that the spiritual realm is actually more tangible than the physical realm. And he said this on my radio show, and I was so stunned I could barely speak after. He said, the spiritual realm is more tangible than the physical realm. And so we must know that every step here is a step there. I just want you to think about that. We have to believe the truth about who we are. We have to believe the truth about who God is. And we have to understand, we don't know if we've got tomorrow, we've got today. Today is a day of salvation. Today is the day to give a gift and faith because we are thinking long term. And you can see the pace of the culture is getting us moving so fast that we don't think long term anymore. I reference this in the book. Like Esau, we give up our birthright for a bowl of soup. We don't think long. We give up the eternal privilege of having influence in this life and the next for the immediate comfort. And when our life becomes one of one shortcut after another, just getting through the moment, and we forget to think long, we lose out and others lose out. Someone once said, 1,000 people wait on the other side of our obedience. Do you see how important your influence is and how important your life is? He takes note of it when you're kind because you belong to Jesus. He takes note of it when you write a check to a missionary because you want to have influence on the other side of the world. He takes note of it when you pray for your pastor instead of criticize him. He takes note of it when you love your spouse and decide to hang in there, even though it feels easier to quit. Our life matters, our choices matter, and we're here for a purpose. And when you think that there will be a day we'll reckon with God, the things that we've done, and Scripture is very clear that some Christians will be ashamed at His coming, because in that moment when He comes to get us, that will be it for us. That will be every choice we've made are the choices that echo into eternity. So some will be ashamed at His coming because they'll realize, oh my goodness, I received that saving grace, and I live this life for me. Let's not do that. Let's live for Him. He's better than we know. He is kind. His will for us is our best case scenario. So I dare you, put your life on the table, where you work, where you live, who you walk with, and say, Lord, is this your best will for me? All my time commitments, is this what I should be doing? Because I live for you. I belong to you. I have been bought with a price. I want my life to count for eternity. I'm telling you, not in a walking on eggshell sort of way, but in a redemptive way, pay attention to your motivation on why you do things, because it does matter. Some things will burn up. Some things will last and echo into eternity. Jesus says the wheat and the tares are growing up together. Sometimes it's hard to tell us apart. We're going to be surprised at who's not saved and who is saved. But let me tell you this, heaven knows who's who in the zoo. Heaven recognizes humility and spiritual rank. We don't always see that. So walk one faith step in front of the other. Trust God's word. Take Him at His word. Trust His promises. And may everything you say and do, every way that you pray, every way that you give, be with eternity in mind. Hope that inspired you. And I'm going to read another excerpt out of my book, Your Sacred Yes. Listen to this. We are in a spiritual battle today, right now. Jesus will one day return, sooner than later, I believe, for us, His bride, the church. The only reason we're alive, the only reason we're living and breathing at this moment, is to get ready for His return. Our enemy, the devil, camps on the assumption that if he baits us into busyness, we'll forget about our adoption as daughters and sons. And sadly, he gets away with this scheme far too often, but not with us, not anymore. We have the power of the risen Lord alive and at work within us. We've been given authority over the enemy. We walk in God's presence as we live here on earth. When we pray in faith, mountains move. When we say to that enemy, no more, he has to obey us. On the other hand, when we forget who we are, it's like we drop our shield and fling aside our authority. The enemy sees the opportunity and attempts to occupy land that belongs to us. Yet Scripture tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. Now, we've covered end times on the show numerous times, but I want you just to imagine for me for a moment, imagine the rapture. Let's just go with that idea that that we're going to be raptured before the tribulation. Even though evil runs rampant, it seems, all around us, there is a force that Scripture says that holds back all of the forces, that keeps the enemy from fully destroying everything around us. Scripture talks about that. There is a restraint, a force of restraint on the earth. Well, most Bible scholars believe that that is the power of the Holy Spirit inhabiting us, the church, the people of God. And the Bible says the enemy is held back to a degree because of the restraint. But there'll be a day when the restraint is lifted and the enemy will have free reign. I want you to imagine that for a moment. Certain schemes of the enemy right now come to nothing because of your presence on the earth today. That you have angels who guard and guide you in this mighty power of the Holy Spirit within you. You've got a power that surrounds you even when you're unaware. And though terrible things do happen to God's people during our time on the earth, many more evils are avoided because of our presence here. I want you to think about your prayers for a moment. When you pray protection around your kids or your marriage or your city or for your pastor, imagine what evil schemes come to nothing because of your prayers. You, my friend, are part of the resistance army, whether you know it or not. Now I want you to imagine for a minute the rapture. Even if you don't believe the rapture will take place prior to the tribulation, just try to imagine a world without Christians, people who love and serve and pray and give. Imagine a world suddenly absent of those who deeply grieve over the sins of the world and who pray with passion and conviction. Picture a world without the multitude of Christians who love and serve the poor and give generously to feed them. That's not to say only Christians do this, but I want you to just imagine a planet without heroes of the faith who rescue girls from human trafficking or babies that are unborn yet. I want you to picture a world without godly families who take in a neighbor kid from a broken home. Imagine the churches are empty. No vacation Bible school, no worship services on Wednesday or Sundays, no more missionaries, youth pastors, or children ministers, no more Christian authors or speakers or radio hosts, no more Christian athletes or business owners or teachers, all gone, all vanished from the earth. Wickedness is running rampant freely in every city. What will that be like? I want you to consider the millions of Christians who walk today, walk the earth, suddenly gone. And imagine all that spiritual activity coming to a sudden stop. The wall of resistance suddenly lifts. Wickedness floods in without any opposition. I want you to imagine that. I want you to read, before we go to break, what pastor and author Jeff Kinley has to say about that force that's currently holding back the power of the enemy. Meanwhile, godlessness continues seeping through the dam of decency, building in volume and intensity. Eventually, that dam will burst, and the last wall of virtue will be breached. I believe the rapture of the church is the event that will set in motion this final deluge of ungodliness. I believe this restrainer is the Holy Spirit. Granted, a large portion of his work in the world happens through believers because the Holy Spirit indwells in Christians. His presence and power in the church does much of Christ's work on the earth today. It is he who currently holds back lawlessness, hindering the global advance of sin until the final days, and he's using us in that process. However, because we're living in this in real time, it can be difficult to see what a difference Christians make just by being here. We need to take a short break, but I want you to think about this. What difference? What evil is held back because of your presence? Is evil being held back because of your presence? Do you see the importance of you standing in power, standing in faith, girding up and saying, not on my watch? This is the time. This is the day. When we come back, we'll talk more about living a life with eternity in mind.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Really glad to have you listening today. We're talking about saying yes to a life that counts. This last clip is talking about eternity, the next place of promise God has for us. We can be tempted to think that life is good because we're good, and we get tempted to be wise in our own eyes. But Scripture says we must never do that. We set ourselves up to fail and to fall when we start to trust and lean on our own understanding. This is a powerful final message and one that really wraps up the Your Sacred Yes series that we've been walking through this week. Let's listen in.
As you walk with God, you will grow in the knowledge of God. You will gain a deeper insight in your standing with Him and walk with a new holy confidence. You will pray with power and precision. And when you pray, because you know who you are, you'll start to see things change. And the temptation will be to think, wow, I'm powerful because I know how to pray loud and shout. And I'm wise because I've become a good Bible study girl. And things are changing and happening all around me because I got this Christian thing down. Take heed if you think you stand, lest you fall. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, we carry this treasure in these earthen vessels. Why? So that we know that the power is of God, not of us. He wants to fill us, and to borrow my friend Joanna Weaver's phrase, she always says, he wants to fill us so he can spill us. He's the treasure. He's the hope of the earth. And when you start to think about the celebrity culture and how sort of Americanized Christianity has blended with Hollywood in a way, where we elevate people for their gifting and not for their character, that's not how heaven sees things. He's the hope of the earth. And the lower we can get and the more we understand that he's the hope and we are vessels he fills and spills, the more he can use us. And so I want you to think of God wanting to pour his life into you, and you're filled with the fullness of God so that you can be poured out to a dry and weary world. So many people are desperate to know this love. They don't want you to win the debate. They really deep inside want you to win their soul. And how will they know that you belong to him? They'll know because of the way that you love and the countenance of joy and peace on your face, because you spend every single day guarding your heart, worshiping God, cultivating intimacy, knowing God's word, engaging your faith, and then turning it all back to Him. Francis Frangipane, he's a pastor and an author, and I love what he says. He says, the Christian life is one of conquer and surrender. We conquer land because He asks us to take the land, and then we offer it back to Him. We surrender it back to Him. So I want to tell you, and if you hear me speak or you read my books, you hear this from me all the time, and I just believe it's true. There's a next place of promise for you. God has a next place of promise, a promised land that He wants you to inherit. There'll be giants in the land that you'll have to take out. You'll have to face down your fears on a deeper level, and you'll have to engage your faith, and it will feel like you're climbing a mountain once again. And then you're going to get to that mountain. You're going to put it under your feet, and then you offer it back to Him, and you give Him the glory that He deserves. Here are some identifiers. Let's look at the UNWISE acronym, okay? It's unwise to whip through life without noticing it, forgetting about your adoption. It's unwise to wallow in your disappointments. It's unwise to isolate from the community of faith. You need other believers around you. It's unwise to nurture perpetual thoughts of insecurity. It's unwise to stray from Scripture and let the Word of God get away from you. It's unwise to endure your battles apart from faith. And it's unwise to let go of the promise of wisdom. And finally, it's unwise to take credit. You can't take credit for it. It's unwise when you do take credit for the blessing that God gives you. How much can He bless you before you make it about you? There's a scene in Lion King. My kids are grown now, but I love that movie. There's a scene where all the animals, there's a sea of animals, and the Lion King is up on a cliff, and they're all bowing down to the king. And I'm such a visual person. Every morning when I pray the Lord's Prayer, I sort of picture that, but Christians. I put myself in rank with a sea of other Christians. It just helps me remember that I am one of many, but I am one. And so He's using many of us on the earth today. And so as special as you are, as special as I am to God, we're not more special than the person sitting next to us. We all belong to Him, and we all bear His image. So why does He use certain people more than He uses others? He's not a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of faith. Even so, He loves us. And so when I say the Lord's Prayer, I just picture myself in a sea of other sincere, wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ. And together I just picture, because when I say Our Father, I'm saying Our Father. There are people around the world today, probably right now, saying the Lord's Prayer. I want you just to say it with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is Your name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, both now and forevermore. I love that prayer, and I love picturing myself among the throng of believers, because He's coming for us someday, and I want to live as one who's spoken for. I'm one of many, but I am one, and it's amazing what God will do through the heart of those who will open their hands, will surrender control, and trust Him. He's better than we know. He's more kind than we can imagine. He's mighty, and He's powerful, and He's true, and He's coming again. You know, when He left this earth, He was shaken like a rag doll. He allowed Himself to be killed a criminal's death on the cross. But He's coming again as the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, General of all generals. He's coming for His church. Will He find faith in you? I pray that He does. That never gets old to me, the consideration of how should we live because we serve so great a King. We just have a little bit of time left. I want to read you one of the last excerpts from my book, Your Sacred Yes. May you live such a radical, faith-filled life, sowing seeds wherever you go, expecting that God will move on every act prompted by your faith, because you are a kingdom builder. Imagine the end of your life. Picture the multitudes celebrating your presence on this earth. They rise up and they praise God because of how your life impacted theirs. All of your sowing and reaping, your praying and believing, your trusting and obeying has created a harvest of life all around you. You gave Jesus your yes, and He multiplied it in ways you could never have imagined. Picture Jesus with that smile that reaches up to His eyes, ready to greet you. He stretches His arms open wide, and He wraps you up in a hug. With his precious nail-scarred hands, he holds your shoulders, he looks into your eyes, and he says, "Thank you, my child. Well done. You did it. You've been so faithful with all I entrusted to you. Now come and see what I've been up to." And here's a prayer from your sacred yes. Precious Lord, with my arms wide open and my heart set on you, I ask, dear Lord, fill me anew with the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit. Fill me up and pour me out. Give me bold, audacious faith that I might dare to ask you for the impossible. Awaken my heart towards things you care about so that your kingdom becomes my highest concern. Fan the flame of generosity within me that I may give away record amounts of money in this coming year. I want to participate in your kingdom story with every aspect of my life. I'm loved, I'm called, I'm chosen, I'm equipped, and empowered to live a life far beyond my own abilities. I have access to all the riches of heaven, so I boldly lay hold of them for your name's sake. Oh Lord, give me eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to do your will. Lift the grace for every lesser thing in my life. Help me lose my taste for the things that weaken me and diminish my influence. May your word come alive to me like it never has before. May I rightly handle your word, preach it with boldness, and believe it with every ounce of faith you've given me. Awaken me to a whole new level of generous giving and generous living. I want to see miracles in my life and in this world. Here I am, Lord. In me and through me, glorify your name. Amen. For that new Jerusalem. And God has promised us he is bringing us there soon. Such a great song. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. You can find this entire program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. I do hope you enjoyed the conversation today and all this week as we've walked through the man-made obligations versus the God-ordained invitations. Remember this, your time is sacred and God has specific things he's prepared you to do in this life. Trust him, read his word, listen closely to his voice, and then do the next thing he has for you to do. I'll leave you with this today. You hear it from me every day. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.